Welcome back, everyone, to the Reflex Blues Show. I am your host, Donovan Beery, recording live from the 1119 studios. We're not really live. This is like 2 weeks ago.
No. Right.
Heads up. And then I have with me John Sales from John Sales Design in Des Moines. John, how
Donovan,
are you doing?
Donovan, thank you for having me come over here. This is a treat.
And you've been, I mean, you've been a well-known designer in Iowa, Des Moines, nationwide for a while. Your studio has been around for
33 years.
That's pretty impressive.
33 years, yeah.
Still going strong. I just saw, did you do a bunch of work for the Iowa State Fair recently that I saw online?
We did the Iowa pork tent.
Oh, do they still do the
I've only, no, pork chop on a stick?
Yes, yeah.
And the pork meal and the and it's through the Iowa Pork Foundation. It's the association. They hired me to design their on-fair location. And what they came up with was, I said, you guys, it's 11 days of circus here.
Yeah. For those who don't know, the Iowa State Fair is huge.
Right.
They get like, is it still like 100,000 people a day?
At least.
I mean, there's over 1 million people go through there. And,
right.
And the pork, now I think I've only been to the Iowa one like twice.
Okay.
But they've both been within the last like probably 10 years. And that pork tent is like one of the highlights. Like so when you're saying you did the on fair
right.
pork tent at a state fair, this is a big deal.
This is not a pop-up tent.
No.
I mean, this is a permanent structure. The thing that's so crazy about the fair is the fair owns those buildings. The clients, such as the Iowa Pork Association, just rents that for 11 days, and the fair takes 30% of their profit.
Wow.
It's no different than I designed Jalapeno Pete's down the street.
That's a restaurant?
That's a restaurant. It's a Mexican restaurant. It's the main location. It's the hot spot. I created 2-level this year. We designed that. I worked with an architect, and we designed top floor and bottom floor and just kind of revamped it. I designed it originally 18 years ago. And so we gave it a new look. Get this. I mean, they go through on Friday night. They call it East Side Night. This is the only place that I see you can – it's okay to drink beer at 7 in the morning. It's okay to wear a tank top, T-shirt, or even no shirt at all.
Okay. Okay.
But they go through 130 kegs on Friday night.
Whoa.
130 kegs. Now, you do the math at $7 to $8 a beer, and you roughly, I don't know how many beers you get out of a keg, but it's some serious cash.
So you get 30% of that. Oh, the fair gets 30% of it. Not you.
Not me.
Sorry.
I wish I did.
It's like, that's a good design fee.
Yeah, I wish I could. No, I was paid, done. It's theirs now. It's their property. But yeah, we had a good time doing the Iowa pork tent.
And did they just pay you in pork chop on a stick?
No, I did get some free tickets, though. But we worked with them, and we did some great signage for them. You know, it's surprising enough, like design clients, they go, well, if we just tear down this building and build another building, a fresh new building, then we're going to get new people, you know, more people to come to our pork tent. I said, client, actually, her name is Kelsey. I said, Kelsey, no matter what, if you tear this down and build a new building, you're just building the same thing. I said, we need to have eye candy. We need to have visual eye candy. That's what we did. They hired me. I gave them visual eye candy. They were up this year 12%.
Wow. Well, that's a lot of pork chops.
That's a ton of pork chops. And the thing about it was is the building that we created, I said, this is so disjointed. You've got the stand out on the corner, and then you've got the pork tent here, and the pork tent gets lost. That's why we visually stimulated it and gave it such splash, such pizzazz, because when I looked at it, I didn't think the tent had anything to do with that pork chop on a stick, but it is. They're together, and their brand was all over the road. So next year, we're going to a phase two and possibly actually redesign some other stuff going on to make it look like a real barn.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the work looked great, what I saw
Thank
online.
You. Thank
it,
you.
It looked good. I'm gonna I keep saying I need to make it back to that state fair because for those who've never been, it's crazy.
You do, yeah, you do. And then you know what? When you're in town, look me up. You got my phone number, I think. Okay. But I would love to have you. You know, I love the fair. I go 9-10 times out of 11 days. I mean, I actually get my vehicle in up on the hill behind the arts building.
Do you just work into your contract that you get a cot in the back of the pork tent
exactly.
And you just sleep over there?
Exactly. Well, you know, it's kind of fun is because, you know, as you know, I own another company, which is a vodka company, and you get the car inside. You don't have to drink the nasty beer and the nasty liquor.
All right. Well, we're going to be right back, and we're going to talk about the vodka company next.
Okay.
So, John, you've got swell vodka here. I mean, this is a big bottle of vodka, and you've been running this for now. You've been running this 3 years now.
It's 3 years old.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds about right. I was thinking I knew it was over two somewhere. And swell vodka. I mean, what made you think that? Hey, I do design. I might as well just start brewing vodka in my bathtub. Or what was the plan here?
What was the plan? Well,
like, hey, I've got my studio space as large as I need. I'll just throw a still back here.
Exactly. You know, it was. I had a client that I was working with. I was designing a liquor bottle for her, and she has it imported from South Africa. And so I was designing the label and designing the bottle and designing other things for her. And I started looking at the bills going, wow, we're up to $18,000, $19,000, $20,000 now. And she hasn't even got the product out on the streets. So I said, why don't you take me down to the distillery? So we went down there. It's about 15 minutes south of Des Moines. It's in Cumming, Iowa. And it's called Iowa Distilling Company.
Sure.
And I just started talking to him. I said, so tell me about... You know, if I made a vodka, I like vodka, and tell me the price points and stuff like that. And Todd at the time said, you know, John, if you do a Iowa vodka that is distilled and filtered six times and it's gluten-free.
And the distilling and the filtering is what makes it smoother, so it doesn't taste like paint thinner.
Yes.
Because I've had this before, and I got the last I bought was actually I got one of these at Hy-Vee.
Okay.
And it tastes great.
Thank you.
Like, it doesn't taste like the paint thinner.
Right.
Vodka can go south quickly.
Right. And so my whole goal was everybody, even though I've branded and marketed people for the last 33 years, I said, you know what, if I design my own product, because the branding and all the marketing and stuff is built in, because I own the other company, Sales Design, if I just practice what I preach and do what I tell my clients to do. Don't jump off the merry-go-round. So many clients in my career have taken the steps, and they've taken the fifth step, but they haven't gone to the sixth, seventh, and eighth, ninth step, and they jump off the merry-go-round. I am doing exactly what I tell my clients to do. And now we are the second fastest Iowa spirits growing next to Templeton Rye.
Oh, wow.
In a short 3 years. And so I said to Todd, he says, well, what's going to take you time is getting your federal and state license. And the feds, they probed me everywhere and checked me. Why are you wanting to make vodka? You run a marketing design studio. Why do you want to develop this product? You know, and I said, well, to be honest with you, over 33 years, my clients have drove me to drink. That's why I am creating this vodka. But yeah. That's not the truth. But
now,
so
now you've done this. Isn't the first? This isn't the first alcohol that you've done design for.
No, I've done.
You've had experience in this
yeah,
market.
Yeah, I designed Peachtree Beer. Their labels. I've been there with them since they're going on 9 years. I've designed all their cartons, all their labels. And when you go into a Hy-Vee grocery store or any convenience store throughout Iowa, and I think it's probably statewide in Nebraska probably and Minnesota, and it's kind of all over now. You identify it and you see in that store, you know, Peachtree Beer. You instantly know that that's a Peachtree Beer bottle and label. And so I've worked for Jim Beam Brands out of Chicago. I've worked for some wineries throughout the country. Creating my own vodka was just something was, okay, I mean, as we were talking earlier, I've rode the wave of economy downfalls for the last probably three or four downfalls that we've had since I started Sales Design back in 85. This is an economy foolproof product. Just like I would say, toilet paper or paper towels. Sure. When you have to go see your dysfunctional family, when you go, you get a divorce, you get married, you celebrate a child, you celebrate graduation, you drink. Bottom line. And so I just decided, you know what? I'm going to market it. I'm going to brand it. I'm going to work hard at it and see what I can do with it. Or I'll create this one palette of vodka, and my friends are all going to have to go through the 12-step program because they're going to become alcoholics. You know?
At least you're giving people a heads up.
Right.
At least you're giving them a heads up.
But this is smooth vodka. I can drink it with just a lemon twist. A lot of bars and restaurants now throughout Iowa are putting in it as their well vodka. It does compare against another product that is in Texas, and that is called Tito's.
Okay.
Their ethanol, this is what this is ethanol. Ethanol comes from the same plant theirs does. It comes from Muscatine, Iowa.
Okay.
They truck theirs to Austin. I truck mine to Cumming, Iowa, but mine is filtered.
Now, how far away is Cumming from Des Moines, by the way?
15 miles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Same metric.
So on the Hy-Vee shelves, it's for a fifth is $11.99. And for a liter, this is $14 per liter.
And do you have to deal with all that price point and then distribution and all that? Is that stuff? I mean, what was the learning curve on jumping? Because I get that you've understood the design process pretty well, and you probably understood it better than your clients did, I hope.
Right.
But when it came to that distribution network, was that like... What was the biggest thing that caught you off guard?
I've realized since over 3 years that the liquor business is a whore business, and it's a cutthroat business. I have one gentleman that works throughout Iowa, and he comes into Omaha and Cedar Rapids and Council Bluffs and stuff like that in Iowa City, and he sells for me. We have done this through grassroots. I have no distributor. We self-distribute this product. Because usually when you start out, they're going to take 30% of your...
And that's where all the licensing comes in. Because I can't just go somewhere and start sell this stuff out of my trunk. I can't just sell liquor and stuff I've been brewing in the back here.
No. Yeah, that would be bootlegging. You know? That would be bootlegging. We have a 66 Airstream trailer that we're converting into a Mad Men bar. So when we go to music festivals or functions, you can step up inside this Airstream trailer. We own a 93 Camry station wagon that actually belonged to Ben Silverman. He started Pinterest.
Okay.
He drove that car to school. My significant other, she worked for the doctor and said they're not taking the car out east to where they were going to live. They just gave us the car. It has 80,000 miles on it.
Oh, wow.
I didn't drive it today. Yeah, so, you know, Swell is rocking and rolling. But you know what? I still go back to my love. And like we were talking earlier, you know, if I laid on my deathbed today and said, you know what? I've had a great life. I've never had to work for major corporations. I've been able to call the shots in most cases. Clients come to me because they know what I can do and what I'm capable of doing. And they trust. They allow. You know, and that's what is such gratitude. And I'm so grateful that... You get people, you get clients that love you, that pay you to actually give them something from what you just created. And that is such a rewarding feeling versus selling a bottle of vodka. You know, as we're talking here in this conversation, you know, there's people throughout Iowa pulling bottles off the shelf.
Yeah, and as I said, I've seen it now in a number of places here in town.
Great.
Since we first, I think we first talked about this about a year and a half ago when I found out you were starting this up, and then
right.
And then I've seen it more and more places over time here, so it's making its way across the river.
Well, and on top of that too, Dunhaman, I have Quail Distributing. They are a distributor in the local market. Every time I go out of state, I have to get a distributor. I cannot just go into your state and start selling it out of my trunk.
Sure, sure.
I have to have a distributor. The distributor brings it in, and then they distribute it to Hy-Vees, even though Hy-Vee is born and raised in Iowa. Quail has to take it and sell it to them. So I'm going to start working the Hy-Vees here in the local market, probably go down to M's Pub, see if I can get it in, and help Quail do their job.
All of this knowledge you've obviously had to learn about how to move move your product. It's in a different industry than a normal product, because this seems to be much more regulated than like bubble gum.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
It is. Even so, you know, like for instance, you have functions, you have fundraisers in your local market. So do we. And so people call me up and say, can you just donate for our, you know, music festival or our river festival or our art festival or whatever? I'm going, no. If you wanted to ask me for tablecloths, for buttons, for balloons or whatever, great. I can give those to you, but I can't give you liquor because we are a controlled state.
So the question is I know this is a separate business.
The
Swell Vodka is different from John Sales Design. You're still running John Sales Design, but since you do some work in the industry as a designer, you work in the industry for other people as well.
Right.
Has learning all the regulations and how this is distributed, has that changed any way of how you work with your clients, or does it help you relate to them, or is there anything?
You know, it really it does. It does help me. I think what it does is, because I've had to learn this industry, it's helped me regulate and understand my clients in a lot of ways. I mean, from Peachtree Beer to I know the regulations now of on their end and what they have to go through. And there is a lag time. When I create a label for Peachtree Beer, it has to be approved, and it goes into another set of hands where it's not just the client's approval, it's the feds and the state and all this other stuff that has to be approved, and I have to abide by regulations. So in a sense, you know, you've learned what the client's going through, because, you know, you're not just designing a label.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, you're actually, I've got restrictions and I've got point sizes that I have to regulate to. Everything has to be spaced at a different way, and the UPC code has to, you know, different things. And so I create that stuff for Peachtree, but then on the other hand, you know, I create stuff for a trucking company, you know, and it goes from one extreme to the other. You know, one of the largest truck stops in the country I do work for. So, you know, and you learn why, I think in depth, you learn why they have to do certain things and they have to regulate to certain things. And like, for instance, Catskill, you know, they have regulations that they can't cross borders and cross lines and they can't go on certain interstates. But you learn that technical stuff. I think a lot of times, too, in some cases, a lot of us seasoned designers, like we are, Donovan, clients sometimes take us for granted. They don't realize that we're not just doing pretty pictures just because we, you know, won a blue star in third grade and we knew how to draw.
We would love to be doing that, but we're not, yeah.
Right. I mean, you know, I jokingly still say, you know, Jesus, I'm probably the oldest designer in the state of Iowa and I get paid to draw pictures. I have to learn certain regulations, certain things that I think a lot of young designers take for granted. They just, you know, let the art person or the art director dictate to what they do. But still, we have to learn all these different criterias. You know, I've done packaging for the last 30 years. You know, I used to sit in the studio and work with my designers, and, you know, we would get flat sheets of cardboard, you know, and have to create boxes and create packaging. Now, I work with the box company, and they have engineers. You know, I just throw them a little sketch and say, here's kind of what I'm thinking. Here's what the product is. Let them do the work. You know, and it doesn't have to be that difficult. But if you walk through the whole steps of designing a package and working with the engineers, and if they clearly understand what you're trying to convey, they will come up with stuff that you didn't even think of, because you've allowed them to be creative and you've allowed that engineer to create something beyond what you even imagined, and you take it to your client. And your client's just like, you're the hero.
Yeah.
You know?
No, we just did a project. And in this one, we had like a basic idea. And we came up with the visual. And then I started mentioning some things we could do to the printer.
Right.
And then the printer was just like, well, what if we take it a step further?
Right.
And then I was like, well, what if we do this then in addition? And they're like, what if we do this instead? And I just, these people that work in those other industries, yeah, they may not be designers.
Right.
They may be, they may not be.
Right.
But they know that industry. Like, if you're working with a packaging engineer, they may know.
Right.
If they've been doing this a while, they're like, oh, if I know what you're doing, I've seen this done before.
Right.
Or I know what we could do.
Right. And that keeps that creative process going. Yeah. You know, I see too many.
Yeah, I didn't take offense when they were saying, what if we try this instead? I was like, oh,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, because
right.
They were doing what we were asking. They were just...
Right. And that's the beauty of us being seasoned, too, because we are trained to open up our ears and to listen. Now, if you were 21 and coming out of fresh out of school, you'd go in hell with you. You're not telling me what to do, you know? But now we know how to work our job and make it a lot easier. I mean, I work for a homeless shelter. One of my design clients is a homeless shelter in Des Moines. I dreamt a visual in the middle of the night. That's how I see a lot of my design elements and visuals. I designed a whole entire city made out of shipping containers. Now, granted, that's not a fresh new idea, but the way I structured it was a complete tent-to-work program, basically. They would live there from 6 to 8 months. I dreamt it, and... This whole area that was slated that people would live in tents there were kicked out of there. 35 units were created in an area that's a floodplain zone. And you can't build on a floodplain zone. But I said, why can't you build it from this bank to this bank and build it on a bridge and basically stagger these containers that are created with catwalks and sustainable garden space that one of their programs is the Mulberry Farms. I took it into the Central Iowa Shelter and Services, and they looked at it and I said, oh my God, you know, you've just created something that they said could not be done in this floodplain zone. We took it to the city of Des Moines and they shook their head. They were scratching their head going, you just created something that now can be built in this area that was slated that could never be built because it was a 500-year floodplain zone.
Sure.
So now what I'm saying is to you, Donovan, is now, okay, am I an architect? No, I'm not licensed to move walls.
Yeah, but, you don't want to be the one stacking these shipping containers that it'll fall over.
Right. But I'm working with this architect firm. I turned the job over to them, and now we're creating this, and they're getting federal grants, and they've applied for all these grants, and the city of Des Moines just said, they just shook their head. I said, just think, guys, think about how many other places there are in Omaha here that have floodplain zones that you cannot build. But if there's a will, I've always been the type of designer, type of person, is you can't tell me no, because I will find a way to make this happen. The city of Des Moines is shaking their heads going, oh my God, we've got something. I said, yeah, think about all the other floodplain zones. This could be on campuses. This could be in small towns. This could be in so many other areas. And now you've just created carpenter jobs. You've created metal jobs. You've created structural engineering jobs. You've just created jobs that you said this was just a piece of blank land that could not be built on.
That's pretty impressive.
So I'm designing it and working with the architects, but I was trained as a print designer.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you know, this the best ideas come from people outside of the industry because they don't know what can't be done.
Right, right. And as I've always said, Donovan, too, granted, you come out of college and you're trained as a print designer, but I've done 9, 10 color screen printed posters that are gorgeous. That is such a lost art. But also, too, I've created stuff that people said, you know, these custom awards you've designed. Just because you're trained as a print designer doesn't mean, I mean, you're a designer. You could design curtains. You could design bedspreads. You could design space. You could design sofas if you wanted to. Design comes from everywhere. It doesn't just come when you come out of school and you're on that little computer and you're on a 20-inch screen, 22-inch screen. That is not your whole world in that computer.
No, that's just the execution of what we do.
Right. Totally.
Okay, we're going to be right back with John Sales. So we should probably get this out of the way. For those who want to find out more, it's SAYLES
design.com.
Sales design.
Yep.
And where do they locate? Where do they go to find more about Schwell Vodka? Does that have its own website, or is it just...
Ironically enough, we are that busy in the design studio, we haven't even got to a website yet.
Well, come to like any of the Omaha Hy-Vees or...
Omaha Hy-Vees.
All over Iowa.
Oh, yeah, all over Iowa. We're an all Hy-Vee product. We're an all Fairway product. We're an all Casey's product. But Quail is starting to penetrate the Omaha market. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook, and we are working, that is on the slate, to get some sort of web presence on there. But we'll probably just have a page on there, really.
Probably just be a redirect to the Facebook page.
Exactly.
I think that's the wave of the future. No, it's not. It's not. Should not tell that to people. Now I do have to ask one more question. We'll do one more little thing here. Since you've been in this profession for a while, what's your advice to someone just getting into the profession or that's only been in for a couple of years? Do you have any advice you tell the youngins?
The youngins? I tell it to my designer. She's 25 now, and all the time. It's learn everything you can. The kids are so tech savvy that, you know, Victoria, she's showing me a lot of things, but... You know, they all want to learn the old stuff, the old screen printing techniques and the printing of the shirts and stuff like that. But, you know, I just say learn everything you can and continue to make your portfolio and do everything you possibly can to strengthen your brand and your design. Technology has allowed us to do a lot of crazy stuff. I mean, you go on Pinterest, speaking of Pinterest, with my 93 Camry station wagon, you know, you go on there and
What color is the station wagon?
It's white.
Oh.
It's white. It goes
classic
with the brand. But then we have, you know, we've got visuals.
Okay.
We've got words and we've got visuals going around there. I've threatened to do an 8-foot by 2-foot bottle on the top, and I thought, yeah, I don't want to do a little circus car here.
Yeah.
You know, if the designers, you know, you'll learn. I mean, Victoria still, her eyes light up when I show her a sketch, and she's just like blown away going, you know, designers, there's all forms of design. There's all forms of designers. If you can visually communicate your idea through paper, through computer, through mood boards, do so. Just continue to practice and open up your eyes. You know, there's design, like I said, whether design is everywhere, whether it's good or bad, it was still designed by someone. And that's why, you know, another passion I have too, and we won't go into that this time, but is I'm a picker. I collect mid-century modern furniture.
Okay.
And so I buy and sell. You know, it's just keep your eyes open and continually to look at things. You coming out of school, it's like you don't learn everything out of school and then you stop learning. You continue to cultivate yourself, to motivate yourself. You continue to look and do and explore your creativity, you know, because you were never going to lose our creativity. No one can ever take that away from you. Even if you work for a corporation, no one will ever take your talent away.
It'll just go into hibernation.
Right.
But, I mean, yeah, I would say if I've always known that if you lose all the joy of a job and you're not learning anything anymore, it's
get
like
out.
You need to get out.
Get out. Get out. I've seen so many homeless people at the shelter that have been artists. No, I'm kidding.
I'm kidding. They're all designers.
Yeah.
All of them.
Exactly.
99%.
Exactly. They've made some unbelievable huts and houses. You know, you're right. If you hate your job and you go, there's got to be a better way, find your happiness. I mean, life is too short. And that's what I am so grateful that I've been able to do what I set out to do. You know, it's ironic. Got about a month and a half ago, my 6th grade art teacher and my college instructor came to my studio. I had no idea my 6th grade art teacher was still alive. And he came there, and I didn't realize that
he had to be at least 50 years old, at least.
No, he's 82. He lives in Las Vegas. and my college instructor. And it was so cool was this person, even though the craziness of my parents trying to raise me, this sixth grade art teacher influenced me. They said, my parents are John and Bobby. And they said, John and Bobby, if there's one thing this young person should do, dream big and pursue his art. You know, I was a straight D student all the way through high school, straight D. I don't know how I made it out and went to the next grade. I think they felt sorry for me. But I could draw and I could design and I came up with wild stuff. And Mr. Shepherd is his name, Floyd Shepherd. And he encouraged me and he kept saying, you just need to just go after your dream. So I did. And then when I went to school, my college instructor, Dolores Johnson.
Now where'd you go to college?
I went to a two-year school. Actually, I went to, they call it DMAC now, in Ankeny.
Okay. So, you've always been in Iowa then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I went to a tech high school and I had art 7 hours a day. And it was unbelievable. I had printmaking. I had design. I had photography. I had illustration. I had all these classes that when I went to DMAC, I was so far advanced than these other students that came throughout Iowa. And so I needed a two-year degree, and I landed my first job in a design studio. I was hired as an intern. And then 2 years later, I had headhunters wanting me to go out to San Francisco and New York, and they were going to put me in some big agencies out there. And I said, hell no, because I know what's going to happen. They're going to lose that one account that I'm on. And I'm out there. I'm stuck. So I decided to be a big fish in a small pond. And I stuck with Iowa. And a short 3 or 4 years, my business partner, Sherry Clark, we were noticed. Minneapolis was starting to get noticed in the design world. Design did not have to come from California or New York. We're right in the heartland, the design world of Minneapolis. And then we got started getting noticed.
Yeah, because I mean, Des Moines, and I went to school mid-Nebraska.
Okay.
And so everyone that graduates from there, because there's not that many jobs in mid-Nebraska for our profession.
Right.
They all end up in Lincoln, Omaha, which is towards the edge of the state.
Right.
But I know, like, people that are in Des Moines, they don't really come to Omaha, even though it's pretty close. They just go to Minneapolis because it's so big and the design community.
They went to Minneapolis, or they went to Hallmark,
Kansas City.
Or they went to Chicago. And tried their hand at working in the big corporations in Chicago.
Yeah, Des Moines just a few
was
hours
not the
from,
mecca.
It's just a few hours from Minneapolis.
Right.
So, yeah.
We're 4 hours away from Minneapolis. We're 5 hours from Chicago. We're 3 hours from Kansas City, Omaha. I'm over here in 2 hours. You know, people complain too about driving here and driving there. I'm going, seriously? I came to you this morning, Donovan. It took me 2 hours. Most people sit on their freeway in San Francisco going to work.
that is a daily commute.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, and here I am in Omaha. It's, the mecca of the 80s, I mean, we rocked Des Moines and we got noticed, and cruise ships in Miami we worked on, to Hong Kong Disney, to Lynyrd Skynyrd's greatest hits, to, we worked all over. Des Moines was not... It was a nice place to come home to, but we traveled. We saw the world, and we saw clients all over the country in a short. And a lot of people thought that, man, this sales design is cranking out some stuff. They must have 50, 60 people. And biggest we'd ever had got to was 10 people.
Yeah, there's a little thing there. Is the places I know, like here in Omaha, that I think people know of, aren't as big as people probably think they are.
Right.
Like, I don't know what it is with the Midwest. They just like, no, we got 5 people, we're booking.
Right.
We can do it.
Right.
But I think that's everywhere. I mean, like, I think I talked to Sean Adams a few years ago, and, when he was running Adams Morioka with Noreen.
Right.
And he's like, we're not that big. We, only have, like, they're probably the same size. You're,
right.
Probably never more than 10 people. He goes, but they all work hard and get stuff done.
Right. Right. I mean, we still did the work of, 50, 60 people. But it was always myself and a head designer and an intern that we got from a local college. And when that designer always left, that intern would be trained and seasoned. I would elevate them up to the head designer. That's how we ran it. And so now we're running just myself and a designer. And I call on clients and talk to them. And, you know, and more I talk
and
to clients.
And you pay in pork chops.
Right.
Pork chops and vodka.
And
I love
vodka.
It.
Peace tree beer.
All right. Well, John, we really appreciate your time. It's been great having you in. And we look forward to seeing where this all goes.
Thank you, Donovan.
The Reflex Blue Show with Donovan Meary is hosted at 36point.com. Music by Dustlab. Find out more at myspace.com/dustlab.